11th, second Sunday in October. Just one quick announcement. We are going to worship at the Labor Pavilion on October 25th, weather permitting, Lord willing. Andy Anthony's going to play the guitar, and we're going to be able to sing. So just want to invite everybody out there on October 25th. Pray that the weather holds. And so we're excited about that. Lord, I thank you for your word that says where two or more are gathered, you will be there in their midst. And so, Lord, as your word is read, as it's played, as it's declared, Lord, we need you. And I thank you that you are our shepherd, that you are our father, that you know what we need. So, Holy Spirit, come and breathe on us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Holy, holy, holy. Lord, class is taken from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Indeed, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden.
That's what his name means. He's an adversary and he's a liar. And so we're going to go back to where he first appears in Genesis chapter 3, because in that chapter, it really is all we need to know about his character. And he doesn't change. And what he does to Eve, what he does to her in Genesis chapter 3, is exactly what he'll try to do to us. And through Jesus Christ, through his blood, what he did for us at the cross, and by believing in him, we can stand in the victory that Jesus bought for us. We don't have to hunker down and feel oppressed and defeated, because he's in us if we believe in him. And all authority, Jesus said, has been given to, he says, has been given to me, and I give it to you. And we can stand in him. So, what can we learn about the devil, and how can we stand against him when he comes? How does he come and talk to us? We're going to look at that. Father, I thank you that Satan is a defeated foe. We're going to sing it later. We tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. At the name of Jesus, the demons scream. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. We thank you for the authority, Jesus, that we have in you. We thank you for your word. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come. In my weakness, be strong. There's a lot I can say today, Lord. Help me to be focused. You just keep making this bigger for me. But Lord, I pray today it would be tight and clear. Lord, I'd have the words to say, that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And Lord, come, guide us into truth and help us to stand in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. I read this scripture last week, but it's just a really good reminder. Satan, the devil, or Satan, he is a fallen angel. It says in Revelation 12, 7 through 9, war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and the angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found in them for heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil, or the accuser, and Satan, adversary. What does he do? He deceives the whole world, and he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast with them. So he is a fallen angel, and he deceives the whole world. That's what he does. And the second thing, the devil or Satan, is he is a liar. And you look in over in John, and Jesus himself calls the devil the father of lies. And he's speaking to the Pharisees, because they were thinking, well, you know, we're good. We don't have to believe in you, Jesus. We don't think you are the Messiah. You don't fit our paradigm of what we think the Messiah is going to be. And Jesus just is really bold, and he says, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Oftentimes, most of the time, I would say, when the devil, we're going to see this in a minute, it's going to be illustrated, we're going to see it. But when the devil comes to us, he will come to us often in our mind and plant thoughts in our mind. And if you've ever been anywhere and you've been like, where in the world, where did that thought come from? Or many of us, because of trauma, because of abuse in our lives, the enemy has that pain, we start believing lies out of that pain and out of that trauma. For example, when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, while my mother was dying from breast cancer, the temptation was, Lord Jesus, are you mad at me? Lord Jesus, what have I done wrong? Lord, you must not love me for this to happen. That can come out of our own mind, but it can also come out of the trauma of our own experiences. And the enemy will then plant more thoughts in our mind. And what does that do? They're lies, and it accuses God to us. The enemy will do that all the time. God really doesn't love you. You really aren't forgiven. You're not lovable. And he'll come, and he'll play those tapes for us. And how do we stand against that? We're going to see that later on in Jesus. But those are lies. What does the Bible say? And that's why we have to know the Word of God, because he's a liar and he's a deceiver. And what is the truth? Jesus is the truth, and the Word of God is the truth. So that's how he'll come. He's a liar, he's a slanderer, and an accuser, and a deceiver. And I spoke last week, and we cannot say, this is a lie. The devil made me do it. No, you did it. And it's James chapter 1. I shared this last week, but it bears repeating. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So, as I shared last week, we don't overnight become a Bundy or an Adolf Hitler. It's little choices that we make. And I looked at the story, we looked at the story of King Saul last week and how he made choices. The word of the Lord came very clearly to Saul, and he deliberately did not do what the Lord was telling him to do. And when we do that, for Saul, it meant he lost his kingship. He lost it. For now, for us, we have grace under Jesus Christ, but it's incredibly important that all of us, when we hear the word of the Lord, when he speaks to us, when Holy Spirit speaks to us and he tells us things to do, you know what we normally do with that? We blow it off. We think it's no big deal. Well, I can do that. We're going to look at what happened to Eve. But we, you guys, it is not picking and choosing what we're supposed to be obedient to. Jesus is either Lord or he is not. And the judgment of the Lord is coming against us right now because we're full of rebellion. We've gone our own way. We're doing what we want to do. He speaks to us and we say, well, I don't want to do that. You look at King Saul and he paid for it. We have to repent. We have to yield. Jesus is Lord and we have to yield to him. It's either Lord or he's not. So that's the word for us in Saul. And today, Genesis chapter 3, look at how the serpent comes to Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. How does it describe the devil? It says, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field the Lord God had made. That word there for crafty is subtle, shrewd, or clever. And I don't have time today to debate and go into. I've done a lot of study in the book of Genesis. And it's like, is it a literal serpent? Does that mean all snakes are bad and all of that? We can debate that till, you know, we'll have to ask the Lord that when we're in heaven. But the point is, the devil himself, he is created. The devil is a created being, which means he does not have all power. He is not all-knowing. He is not this omnipotent one. It's not dualism where you've got the power of evil versus the power of good and it's constantly fighting. No, he's created. He's under, and we're going to see this in a minute as well, he's under God and he's under Jesus. And so we don't have to fear him. But we do need to be aware of his wiles. So he's crafty, he's subtle, he's shrewd, he's clever, he's an accuser, he's a liar. And look at how he approaches Eve. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? What aspect does that question reveal of his character? Did God really say? Did he really say that? It's an accusing, isn't it? It's accusing God. He's mocking God. Did God really say that? And he's questioning the authority of the Word of God himself. And he will do that to you. Is the Word of God real? God, no. Jesus really didn't mean that. No, mm-mm. He does that all the time. And we have to be aware of that when those thoughts come, or a mocking attitude, a slanderous attitude. I cannot stand right now to listen to the news. Because you know what most of it is? It's mocking. And it's slanderous. And it's coming from a very hateful, slanderous attitude. And truth, what is deceit? Deceit is what we're speaking out of our mouth, because we can participate with the devil in slander, in lies, and we're so immersed in it as a culture, I don't even think we're aware of it. And we need discernment. Discernment is being able to distinguish the spirits of what's coming from the Lord and what is coming from the devil. When we listen to that all the time, it's going to influence. It's going to influence our spirit. What happens? If you were to listen to 3 hours of the news, are you going to be happy and joyful and peaceful? You're going to be angry and what spirit is that coming from, you all? Watch what you're listening to. This may be another sermon, but I just want to say it because we're so immersed in it. We have to be aware of it. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up. And what is the one thing he's convicted of? It's fascinating to me. I've never really thought about this before. He sees the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. Rafters are shaken, and it's like this amazing experience of God's holiness. And he says, woe is me, I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. That's more than just cussing. That's coming from a judgmental, critical, hateful, slanderous, lying heart. And when we participate in lying and slander, we're participating in the works of the devil. James chapter 3, he says we need to watch what comes out of our mouth because it's set on fire by hell itself. We need to watch what comes out of our mouth. And he says, our tongue is a rudder, and we need to be careful. So the snake comes. Did God really say you must not eat of any tree in the garden? He's an accuser. And he's also a liar. Because is that really what God said? You go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. Genesis 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So Satan takes the word of the Lord and he twists it, which is what false prophets, false teaching, that's what happens. He twists the truth. So he says, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? No, that's not what he said. He's twisting it. And the woman said to the serpent, so he's lying, okay, he's lying. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So Eve has it mostly right. But she doesn't have it fully right. So when the devil comes talking, and he will, he'll slander us. He's planting lies in our mind. Or when we listen to lies, then he'll manipulate those lies and have us replay them over and over and over and over. Any of you ever have bad dreams in the night? You know, bad dreams where fear or whatever. But pray over your bed. Pray over your mind before you go to bed. Because that's another way the enemy will want to come and put fear, lies in us. Just pray the blood of Jesus, Lord, protect me. Pray that every night before I go to bed, Lord, protect me. And most of the time, doesn't happen all the time, but a lot of the times I'll wake up with a song, or he'll give me a song, or I'll have a dream that I know that, and that's the Lord. And so, you know, write it down. So we need to be good stewards of what he gives us. But anyway, I'm going on a little rabbit trail there. But Eve gets it wrong because she knows the truth, but she doesn't know it at all. And so when he comes talking to us, we need, and Jesus models this for us when in the temptations. When the devil comes to Jesus, what does Jesus do? In Luke chapter 4, the devil comes talking to Jesus, and Jesus starts quoting scripture to him. And it's full scripture, it's the truth. And Eve, so we've got to know the truth. We need to stand on the truth. We speak scripture. You know, the devil says, you're not worthy. God doesn't love you. It's like, nope, that's not true. The cross of Jesus Christ proves that he loves me. The cross of Jesus Christ says that he died on the cross for my sins. The word of God says, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive me of my sins and purify me from all unrighteousness. God so loved the world. God so loved April. Put your name in that and quote that back to him, and he can't stand against the truth. And so, but Eve says, well, but God said, you shall not eat of the tree, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. No, no. God didn't say you can't touch it. It's not what he said. So she got it wrong. So we need to know the scriptures, know the truth, know the truth. Verse 4, but the serpent said to the woman, he will not surely die. What's he doing? He's completely contradicting the word of the Lord. Because it said, that God said in verse 17, you shall not eat it, from the day you eat it, you shall die. The devil's like, no, surely die. He's a liar. And he's promising something that he can't deliver. And look over to Luke chapter 4. Just flip over there for a minute. I'm going to come back to Luke chapter 4. I can't do it justice today. But the devil comes to Jesus. And look at what the devil's promising Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. The devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. Is that true? No, he's lying. He's promising what he cannot deliver. And so he's taking, the word of the Lord has come. Don't eat from that tree. Don't eat. Because if you eat from it, you will surely die. The serpent's like, that's not true. You're not going to die. That's not really true. He's lying. He's lying. And he's offering something he cannot deliver. And then you all know the rest of the story. Eve is interested. She looks at that. That does look good. And because of the temptation, because of the lies, because of the deceit, she's tempted and she eats of it. And death entered the world. No, she didn't drop dead right at that time. But the spiritual life they had with God the Father was cut off. And there was spiritual death that came right then. And you and I have inherited that arrogant, sinful will. Lord, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't want to do what you want to do. I'm going to do what I want. Your voice, I might listen to it. I might not. I'm going to pick and choose what I want to be obedient to. People, that's rebellion. That's rebellion. And his purpose has not changed. Revelation chapter 12. What is his purpose? Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short. And so his purpose is to get us to believe lies. Get our focus off of Jesus. Get our focus off the cross. Get our focus off of the power and the victory and all of the promises that we have in Jesus. He wants to get our focus off of that by getting us distracted, by helping us to believe in lies, and think that obedience is just we can pick and choose. And he will torment you with thoughts, with affliction, and that's the thoughts and the just to get our focus off of Jesus. And yet, what's the promise? What's the promise? April, this is depressing. I don't like this sermon. Genesis chapter 3. Go back. So they eat. And they hide themselves. They're ashamed. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And isn't that what the fall does to us? What the enemy tries to get us to do? Have anything but spend time from the Lord. We'll do anything. Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked?" God isn't ashamed of our realness, of who we really are. He's not ashamed of us, you all. He's not ashamed. Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you to not eat? This makes me angry, but what does he do? I didn't do it. She made me do it. That woman that you gave me, she made me do it. Isn't that what sin does? No, they made me do it. We don't take ownership of our own choices. No. He did it. He didn't have to. He could have said, "Eve, no, let's not do that." He could have corrected her, but he just went right along. That woman made me do it. Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." And the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field, and on your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity or hatred between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring." He's talking to the serpent, and he says, "The offspring of that woman, he's going to bruise your head. And you, serpent, you're going to bruise his heel." What is he talking about there? Y'all, he's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise. Jesus is the one. He's the seed of the woman, of Mary, that who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he's born. And what does Jesus do in his death and his resurrection? Yes, Satan comes and he crushes his heel. He died on the cross, and when all was lost, he died, and Satan thought he had him. But God raised him from the dead, and he now has crushed the serpent's head. And when the devil comes talking, and he's talking lies, we can say, and this is a quote from E. Stanley Jones. He said, "Devil, you bow your knee. You bow your head." And when the serpent has to bow at the name of Jesus, and when he bows, you see a nail-scarred footprint on the back of his head, because Jesus has defeated him. And you come down right in the context of that Revelation scripture where it says that the devil he's been thrown down and he knows his time is short. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God." Colossians 1:22 says that through Jesus Christ, we are free from accusation. When the devil comes in and is accusing you, you say, "No," you remind him of the blood. "The blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven me. The blood of Jesus Christ has saved me. I don't have to listen to these lies anymore. Devil, go now in Jesus' name. Lying spirits, go now in Jesus' name." And fill your mind with truth. Fill your house, fill your car with worship and adoration. We're living in such a day and age that's filled with so much lies, that's filled with so much hatred, that's filled with so much deceit, that we have to fill our minds with truth. Because the devil, he wants to take us out, and he wants to get our focus on, "Oh, look at this, and look at this, and look at this, and look at this." And Holy Spirit's saying, "Look at Jesus." Jesus is saying, "Look at me. Focus on me. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Listen to the voice of the Lord." John 10. Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." If you have confessed and you believe in your heart, you know the voice of Jesus. You know his voice. And listen to that voice. When he tells you to do something, do it. It's not optional. We need to be obedient and we need to follow him. Because if we don't, we will live in torment and we will live in fear and we will live in oppression. But that is not the life that Jesus died to give us. They conquered him. Revelation 12, verse 11. They conquered him. You guys guys know this. How did they conquer him? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and not loving their lives unto death. We overcome him by believing in Jesus, applying the blood of Jesus. Going back to Philippians, I want to know him, Paul said, in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship, intimate knowledge of his sufferings, as we remember his body broken, his blood poured out. When we're convicted of sin, and we will sin, and when we're convicted of sin, say, Jesus, forgive me. I want your body. I want your life in me, Lord, so that I become more like you. The blood of Jesus, Lord, I just need your blood right now to forgive me and cleanse me of all sin. Forgive me of that. And you all were forgiven. We don't have to live under that oppression. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. What is your testimony? Do you believe in Jesus? Have you confessed him as Lord and Savior? Do you know the word of the Lord when he comes talking? Speak the scripture to him. Start quoting scripture. Psalm 91. I will not be afraid. Under his wings I will find refuge. Psalm 34. I bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my mouth. This poor man called and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all of his fears. Start quoting scripture. When the devil came talking to Jesus, what did Jesus do? He started speaking scripture to him. And the devil left him. We need to stand, church. Ephesians chapter 6. And Danny brought this today. He said, April, can we hang this up? And it's standing in the armor of the Lord, as I shared last week. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand a little bit. So you may be able to cower. No. So you may be able to stand. You may be able to stand. And when you've done everything, stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth put around your waist. Breastplate of righteousness. Shoes of the gospel of peace. Shield of faith with which we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. All of that armor in Ephesians chapter 6 is Jesus. It's not standing in our own strength. It's standing in him. What he died to give us. The victory has been won. As I said last week, we're going to sing Mighty Fortress is Our God. I think it is the most powerful spiritual warfare hymn that's ever been written. Martin Luther. And I'm going to read the words to that. And if you could memorize one hymn, if you haven't memorized that hymn, just encourage you to get that word in your spirit. Get it in. Because it's not about us. It's about Jesus and what he's done. Father, we thank you for the victory that has been won in you. Lord, we don't have to fight. We don't have to cower. We don't have to be afraid. Lord, we need your presence. Lord, like we've never needed it before. Father, forgive us for our rebellion. Forgive us, Lord, where we've heard your voice. And we just thought, no, I'm not going to listen to that. And Lord, we go merrily on our own way. Father, forgive us in the name of Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord, where we have believed lies. We believed lies about you. We believed lies about other people. Lord, we've allowed lying and slander into our hearts and into our minds. And Lord, it's corrupted us. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would forgive us. You would cleanse us. Lord, you would forgive us for participating in the demonic when we lie and when we accuse and slander other people. Father, forgive us in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we need you to take the tongs from the altar as you did for Isaiah. And we need you to purify our lips. We need you to purify our hearts. Lord, we need a revelation of who you are, high and lifted up. Lord, we need you. I thank you that there is so much more of you and your power and your glory than we have yet experienced. So, Lord, come. I thank you, Lord, you always come to the hungry. You always come to those that are poor and needy and humble. And, Lord, we humble ourselves to you today and say we need you. We need you, Lord. Fill us up. We want more of you than we've ever had before. We need a drink from the river.
bought for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Open our eyes to see your power, your glory, Lord, so that we may stand and be your witnesses.